Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from According to the Promise by Charles Spurgeon. A program note before we continue on. Those who are in real time, who are present day, this is the 22nd of April in 2019 this announcement is for. That is that tomorrow, 4/23, Tuesday, there will be no upload of any sort. Every once in a while, the Gideons, to whom I belong, go out to the street and do distribution. I'll be doing that here in the Chicago area tomorrow, and so I will not be at the microphone, sadly. But Lord willing, I will be coming back on the 24th, Wednesday. Now, we're in the middle of, or towards the end of, a series here of Charles Spurgeon. It's called, as I said, According to the Promises. We have this one and one more after to complete this book that it was. I like to call them sermons. Each individual chapter is like a sermon, but it was a book all about the promises of God. And this chapter is called The Promises in Possession Through the Spirit. That Holy Spirit of promise, says Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Again, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In a very true and real sense, the things promised in the covenant are already the property of believers. All things are yours. The great Father might truly say to each one of the sons who abide in his house, "All that I have is thine." The inheritance is already ours, says the old divines, in promiso, in precio, in principis, that is to say, in the promise of God, in the price paid by the Lord Jesus, and in its first principles, which are infused into us by the Holy Spirit. In his sure promise, the Father has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He is not only resolved to enrich us in the future, but even now he has endowed us with the treasures of his love. The Lord Jesus has not merely made us heirs of an infinite estate in the ages to come, but he has brought us into immediate enjoyment of a present portion, as saith the Scripture, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. The Holy Spirit is in many ways the means of making the promised heritage ours, even now. By him we are sealed. We know of a surety that the inheritance is ours, that we ourselves belong to the great heir of all things. The operations of the Holy Ghost upon us in our regeneration, and his abiding in us by sanctification, are certificates of our being in grace and of our being inheritors of glory. Beyond all other testimonies of our being saved, there stands this sure and certain evidence, namely, that the Spirit of the living God rests upon us. Repentance, faith, spiritual life, holy desires, upward breathings, even groanings which cannot be uttered, are all proofs that the Holy Ghost is working upon us and working in a way peculiar to the heirs of salvation. Life breathed into us by the Holy Ghost is the great seal of the kingdom of God to our souls. We need no dreams, nor visions, nor mystic voices, nor rapturous feelings. The quickening and renewing of the Holy Ghost are better seals than these. The Spirit of promise does not prepare men for a blessedness which shall never be theirs. He who hath wrought us to the selfsame thing will secure that blessing to us for which he hath prepared us. The faintest impress of the seal of the Spirit is a better attestation of our part and lot with the people of God than all the presumptuous inferences which self-conceit can draw from its heated fancies. Nor is the Holy Spirit only the seal of the inheritance, he's also the earnest of it. Now, an earnest is a part of the thing itself, given as a guarantee that the remainder will be forthcoming in due season. If a man is paid a part of his 6 days' wages in the middle of the week, It's earnest money. In this, an earnest differs from a pledge, for a pledge is returned when we receive that which it secured, but an earnest is not returned, for it's a part of that which is promised. Even so, the Holy Spirit is himself a great portion of the inheritance of the saints. And in having him, we have the beginning of perfectness, of heaven, of eternal glory. He is everlasting life, and his gifts, graces, and workings are the first principles of endless felicity. In having the Holy Ghost, we have the kingdom which it is our Father's good pleasure to give to his chosen. This will be made clear by a few moments' reflection. Heaven will much consist in holiness, and it is clear that as far as the Holy Ghost makes us holy here, he has implanted the beginnings of heaven. Heaven is victory. And each time that we overcome sin, Satan, the world, the flesh, we have foretastes of the unfading triumph which causes the waving of palms in the New Jerusalem. Heaven is an endless Sabbath. And how can we have better antepasts of the perfect rest than by that joy and peace which are shed abroad in us by the Holy Ghost? Communion with God is a chief ingredient in the bliss of the glorified, and here below, by the Spirit of God, we are enabled to delight ourselves in the Lord and rejoice in the God of our salvation. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus in all his gracious designs and purposes, and likeness to him in love to God and man, are also chief constituents in our perfect condition before the throne. And these the Spirit of holiness is working in us from day to day. But to be pure in heart so as to see God, to be established in character so as to be fixed in righteousness, to be strong in good so as to overcome all evil, to be cleansed from self so as to find our all in God, are not these which carry to the full among the central benedictions of the beatific vision? And are they not already bestowed upon us by that Spirit of glory and of power which even now rests upon us? It is so. In the Holy Spirit we have the things we seek after. In him the flower of heaven has come to us in the bud. The dawn of the day of glory has smiled upon us. We are not, then, such strangers to the promised blessings as common talk would make us out to be. Many repeat like parrots the word, "Eye hath not seen, nor an ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him," 1 Corinthians 2:9. But they fail to add the words which follow in the same scripture, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." What cruelty thus to cut the living child of scripture in halves. The Holy Spirit has revealed to us what neither eye nor ear has perceived. He's drawn back the curtains and bidden us see the secrets hidden from ages and from generations. Behold, in the life of God within your soul, the everlasting life which is promised to them that love God. The life of glory is but the continuance and the outgrowth of the life of grace. Behold, in reconciliation, the atoning blood, that celestial peace, which is the groundwork of eternal rest. See, in the love of God shed abroad in the believing soul, a foretaste of the fragrance of felicity. Mark in the immovable security and hallowed serenity of full assurance, a forecast of the infinite repose of paradise. When our inward joys swell high and burst into a song, then we hear preludes of the heavenly hallelujahs. If we would know the clusters of Canaan, lo, they are brought to us by those emotions and anticipations which, under the guidance of the Spirit, have gone like spies into the good land and brought us hence its choicest fruits. It is not only that we shall have an inheritance, but we have it. In having the Holy Spirit, we're already put in possession of the land which floweth with milk and honey. We which have believed do enter into rest. Hebrews 4:3. You are come to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God and to an innumerable company of angels. What remains for such persons thus made partakers of a divine inheritance in the Son of God, but that they walk worthy of their high, holy, and heavenly calling? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And amen, we add to that. Amen, Charles Spurgeon. A short one today, but again, with Spurgeon, you don't need a long one to be blessed and to have something to think about all day long. I hope this will bless you during that time indeed. Lots of other great men of God on this webcast, a website. Do hope that you will go looking around. Click on the word series to see the kinds of things that are out there. Also, go to that new website if you want to, FaulknerTales.com, to see what I'm up to over there. I think that's going to bless a few people, too. Don't forget North Korea. We've got hundreds of North Korea audios here. I do hope that you will pray for the people of North Korea. It's not over yet, folks. It's not over. It's not over. I've been working on this for years, as have so many of God's people throughout for many, many years. But it's not over yet. We've got to keep praying. We've got to keep doing whatever God tells us to do for these dear people. Well, thank you. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.